Good morning, Turks and Caicos. Welcome to another episode of Career Connection powered by Flow. I'm your host, Melanie Smith, and I'm delighted to be back in studio for another thought-provoking discussion. Our special guest, Mr. Elmando Rigby, is no stranger to the airwaves and is back this week in a different capacity as we discuss the importance of teamwork in the workplace. As we flow with Flow in the morning, tell a friend to tell a friend that Melanie is live on RTC 89.1 FM and Flow Facebook page to get the 411 on the importance of teamwork. But before we get into today's discussion, we'll pause to hear a word from our sponsor.
Kill himself.
And I'm going to find out who did.
If I win, you have to tell me something personal about yourself.
When I win, I get to choose what we do next, and you have to do it.
We're out of food. We want to eat. One of you is going to have to learn how to use this thing.
People just want to know how exactly you survived out there.
What did you really have to resort to?
What really happened over there?
The plane crashed. A bunch of my friends died. And then the rest of us starved and scavenged and prayed to make the nightmare go away.
If they knew where we were, they would be here already.
I have no idea what's right or wrong out here.
What is this?
It's a threat.
It's gonna be bad.
You're not out of the woods yet.
Thanks for tuning in to Career Connection. I'm your host, Melanie. And today we'll be chatting on the importance of teamwork in the workplace with our guest, Elmando Rigby. Elmando, welcome to Career Connection. I'm so happy to have you joining me today.
Thank you very much, Mel. I'm wonderful. Happy to be joining you.
Yes.
Good morning. Good morning, Turks and Caicos.
Thank you. Now, last week, right, you presented on a different topic, and it's evident that my co-host and I are on the right track with our season's program.
Oh, wow, I hope so.
We are. And even though it's not discussed, we don't know who will be next on the show with every other host, but, you know, we're doing our thing.
Well, I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. Right, and so your presence here today demonstrates that you are a man of many hats. So tell us a little about yourself in the role of a hospitality sector.
I'm glad you specified that. So right now, currently, I am the executive housekeeper at the Grace Bay Club.
Okay.
I've been at Grace Bay Club since 2018, started as the assistant executive housekeeper, and then in 2019, moved to the executive housekeeper. I have a team of almost 90.
Ooh, wow. That's the largest team.
It's a large team. I have five different nationalities.
Ooh.
Right? And good thing is I don't have too many different generations.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Because, you know, housekeeping.
Actually have that in there.
Yeah, right? But I have a lot of different nationalities. I have people who've been in their role and in their position way longer than I have been So that is, you know, another thing. But in hospitality, I've worked as a front desk agent, also as a night auditor, and that was another kettle of fish. So, and also and in the engineering department.
Okay, so because when you made the switch from IGA, I was like, I wasn't sure that you had the hospitality background.
So,
but now you're sharing that.
Yeah, so with IGA, The great thing about IGA, before I was at IGA, I was at FedEx for 9 years. I went to FedEx as a courier, but by the time I left, I was ops coordinator. I did a lot of work with customs, as I went a lot of people. Okay. So I was the customs agent there and then the ops coordinator. But the thing at FedEx, which was it was preparing me for next. Like, I always tell people, FedEx was the best job I ever had. Okay. And I'll tell you why. Because the team that I had at FedEx, everybody knew their role, everybody did it, and we didn't have any arguments. That was a really good. And my boss at FedEx is the best boss I ever had today. And when I meet him, and it's his birthday today, happy birthday, buddy. I still call him boss.
He was a really good manager to me as well, because I did FedEx for
Period. And so I left FedEx and went to, I was at the Palms, and also at Winsong while I was at FedEx.
Okay.
So I had this job where I would be a night auditor. Do night audit, get off at 7, go home, pick up my family, get to work at 9, wow. get off. I did it for 4 years.
Wow.
And while doing night audit, at some time, you had to work the desk.
Okay.
So yeah. I worked the desk.
So you're very versatile.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, you had to be.
See why you're here this yeah. morning?
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again for sharing that, Armando, and welcome. I'm truly delighted to have you here, and to be sitting next, I have to plug this in to my Maxwell Leadership colleague.
Oh, gosh. I love it.
Right now, Monday, the hour goes by quickly, so let's get right into the topic for today. We're discussing the importance of teamwork, sharing on tips on how to be a team player and how to work with teams.
Oh, boy.
Now, Mondo, in the workplace, teamwork is one of the most sought-after qualities. Tell us, what it really means to be a team player and why it is vital at work?
So when you talk about being a team player, of course, you know, a team player is, because, you know, when I heard that question, I think, all of us have team members.
Yeah.
Right? People are part of the team. But when you talk about a team player, a team player is someone, first of all, who understands their role.
Yes.
Right? And that their role is vital to the operation, no matter how minuscule that role is.
Right.
A team player is somebody who would actively listen to their co-workers, suggest ideas.
Right.
Right? And someone who realizes that their success, it contributes to the success of
the team,
right? And so they don't take their role lightly.
Right.
They don't take their responsibilities lightly, and they're not gonna slack off because it causes another team member to have to carry that load. And so when I think about team players, you know, there's people who understand their role, understand how vital their role is to the organization, and they listen to their team members, their colleagues, somebody who has empathy,
right,
and we're going to talk about that a lot more, right? And so those are some of the things when I think about a team player, what I think about.
And it's really important to be able to contribute really to a collective purpose, right, as part of a group, and being able to rally around all the efforts that you are trying to achieve.
For sure, you know, I mean. That is important for any organization. If you look at sports, I mean, even in sports, you know, you need people to understand what their contribution is, and that their contribution is vital, and they ought not, you know, take that lightly because what it does, what it can do to the other people on the team.
On the team, And from that, Armando, what would you say are some ways, right, that you can show team members in the workplace how important that is?
Okay, so one of the things when we talk, I talk about being actively listening, right? You know, some people often when you give them, when you telling them something, or they listen to respond rather than listen to understand, right? And so active listening tells you listen to understand with the person's perspective, where they're coming from. And then respect others, right? And respect is a serious thing, right?
Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. If somebody feels like you disrespect them, you can't say nothing to them, no matter how valuable that contribution is.
Yeah.
Don't care how big, important that gem of knowledge that you have to deliver. If they feel like you disrespect them, everything gone.
Everything goes out the window.
Yeah,
and also.
We have to learn how to be problem solvers, right? And when I talk about, too often we could point out what the problem is.
Right.
I could tell you what ain't working or what's going on, but how often do we, you know, are problem solvers. And then the last thing I'll say is we need to learn how to celebrate others.
That's very important.
Yes, we got to celebrate others.
And I like it that you said that because it's important to make sure that you have clarity of what's expected, because I know sometimes I always often speak about how persons get hired very quickly in a particular role, and it's almost like they're just thrown there, and they don't have no one that they can shadow on how to get things done, and they get frustrated.
For sure.
You know.
I mean, you say that we live in a country. I mean, thankfully, where if you really want to work, you could work. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes the challenge is you need people so much, and
so
a lot of times the onboarding process is just you got to get to work, right?
And so most times companies are looking for persons who can come in and hit the ground running,
yep.
right? But we still have to leave that you know, room open for persons who don't know how to
Of course, of course. And you know, and unfortunately, a lot of times the people that you get aren't people who are ready to hit the ground running. Right?
Yep. They just want to be able to care for themselves.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Right. And in your opinion, right, what is the most significant aspect of teamwork?
Effective communication. Right? And you know why effective communication? I'll give you an example. So my pastor told this story once where he, Buckus, hit his toe at the edge of the bed. You know when you hit your toe to the side of the bed, that just hurt. So he hit his toe at the side of the bed and he's jumping around because his toe is hurting. And his wife, who's Jamaican, says, "Hush." Now where I from and where you from, hush means shut up.
Shut up.
Right? Now he's saying, "I just popped my toe on the butt of this bed, I hurting," and this woman telling me, "Shut up." But in Jamaica, hush means I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right? Oh. So exactly what he wanted from her, she's giving it to him.
She's giving it to him.
But he couldn't receive it because
understand it.
Right?
Yeah.
And so effective communication is not just me talking, right? It's me understanding that I'm responsible for what somebody understand when I speak to them.
Yeah.
Right? When I communicate to you, I'm responsible for how you receive it. And so it's important for me to understand you, understand how you receive information, and then convey it in a way that makes you understand. And so if you have understanding of effective communication, that is the most pivotal thing when it comes to
when
team.
It comes to, and Armando, that is so important because I often say we love to use the email process of everything, right? And the miscommunication that happens throughout.
Yeah, because in the email you read it in your own head.
Yes, and we interpret
and,
it.
And
wrong.
If I happen to capitalize one word,
it's right? A problem.
Yeah, and then
you're
shouting at you.
That is so important. Yeah. Oh my God! Because sometimes and that's why it's so important for you to read it and make sure you understand
for
it.
For sure.
And if you're working in the same environment, make a phone call.
You know, I think that is so important, right?
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes people avoid emails or avoid conversations because they're scared of confrontation,
right?
And then what happens is it exacerbates the exact thing that you wanted to avoid end up, you know, happening
and
because
the person
now reads it and takes something totally different from it than you intended.
Oh, that happens so often.
Too often.
Right? It is often said that developing strong relationship help team members to communicate freely though, right?
Yep.
And more effectively. Can you share any proven benefits to that?
Oh, of course. I mean, one of the things about when you're talking about communicating, it encourages peer learning, right? As a John Maxwell team leader, you know, it talks about, you know, John tells you when you talk about being a person of influence,
right?
He talks about up south, down south leadership, and he talks about you and your position. And he talks about, you know, the horizontal leadership where you influence your peers.
Right.
When you have effective communication, when you are able to communicate, you are able to, you know, to have peer learning, people learning from each other.
Yeah.
And then also it allows you to promote the diversity that you have, in your
team,
right? And people's strengths are able to come up. And then what it does for you as a manager, it allows you to delegate effectively because now you understand how people work, you understand people's strengths, and you're allowing them the leeway to grow. And so it allows you to delegate, right? And then it also encouraged healthy competition within the team, right? Because now people understand each other and we can have some healthy competition, right? And then creativity and innovation,
right? And they're excited to come to work too.
And then you're excited to share new ideas and new things and new ways of doing it because now we have this communication where we
call it a unison.
And so that it does that kind of stuff.
Okay, perfect. Now, when it comes to teamwork, though, right? It's often less about me and more about we. And if we can't integrate ourselves, we've got a problem.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
Share your thoughts with us on that.
So I'll give my thoughts on that is, I'm sure some of your listeners know basketball.
Yeah.
So the New Jersey Nets, right? They have two of
educators.
Yeah. They have two of the players in the NBA that people will call in the top 10 best players in NBA. As a matter of fact, at the beginning of the year, before the NBA year started, when all of the GMs did a survey and they said, "Who you think was going to win the championship?" they picked the New Jersey Nets. Okay. But the problem is, we had COVID, and then we had a vaccine mandate and stuff. And there was one player on the team, Kyrie Irving, who is one of the best players ever. Mm. He's every player's favorite player. But the problem with him is he didn't want to take the vaccine. Okay. All right, that's his issue, right? Right? Yeah. But the problem is, when he didn't take the vaccine, he wasn't available for his team. Right? And so, as great as he was, he's one of the best, one of the top, if you're talking about point guards in the top five, but he wasn't able to be there for his team because he wasn't willing to do what his team needed him to do in order to be available. And so when you talk about your responsibility, your role on the team, it don't matter how great you are, right? It don't matter if you can't understand how vital and how important you are to the team, then don't matter how much knowledge you have. It don't matter how smart you is. It don't matter how good you is. If you say, boy, one thing with Mel, she good at such. But if Mel ain't understanding her role and she, then
It leaves a space for somebody else to step.
Of course, but you know, in the case of the Nets, they get swept out of the playoffs. Wow. They lose four games straight to a team that they everybody think that they should have beaten, right? Because one team member.
He understands their
role.
The
and so,
importance of his role.
Yeah, and so when we don't understand the importance of our role on the team, sometimes we could fail.
Yeah.
Right? And if I break that down to housekeeping, like we have a standard.
Mm.
If we have a vacant room, that a room that's vacant and is arriving that particular day, we want that room ready by 12 o'clock. So if that guest will come early, they could walk in that. And if it's a back-to-back room, they have to be ready by 3. Because once it goes beyond 3 now, that the hotel has to start to give money back to.
Yeah.
And so we have to understand how important our role is in order to get that done.
That's a good analogy that you used too. And Armando's leaders and team have gone through several changes, you yourself, in recent times, right? How have you been able to manage your team's productivity and again set performance goals for you know, your personnel throughout the staggered periods that you've experienced?
That has been a real challenge, and that was a really good question. So for productivity, I'll tell you what I did. I'll give you the hotel where I'm at. We have different buildings.
Right.
So we have 7 buildings on the property, and then as housekeepers, they are usually assigned to one particular building. Right. So if I have the E building, I'm usually on E building, and that building has its own supervisor.
Okay.
And that building, and that building's assigned their own houseman, right? So sometimes I would walk the floors. My assistant and I would walk the floors, and we'll look and we'll see different areas on the floors that needs attention.
I call it inspection.
Right? So what we did is this: we say, all right, at the end of every month, we're going to do a competition. At the end of every month, we're going to tally a score, and we're going to give everybody who's assigned to that building a gift. So in our first month, each of them got a $30 gift certificate from IGA.
Okay.
The second month, everybody got $30 minutes from Flow, right?
Yeah.
So what we did is we tied their scores to everybody on the building.
Mm.
Okay, so everybody starts out with 820 points, right? And you have to keep as many points as you can by the end of the month, right? So you get 820 points. And every infraction, if a supervisor didn't turn in her audit sheets, is a point deducted. And then when we have our meeting, we say, you lose 10 points because your supervisor didn't turn in her sheets. If a staff comes late, we say, all right, so-and-so came late today, and so you lose 10 points, right? Oh, the houseman didn't move all the linen off the bed, off the floor in time. You lose 10 points. And so now the team says, listen, bro, you got to move your linen, you know, and listen, what happens is a healthy competition and it increases productivity, right? Because now people are saying, listen, man, you can't be messing around, you can't be slacking, right? And so that was one
and
way.
And that's really important because that's a way for a leader to know really how to enhance the performance of the team, right?
For sure.
Because sometimes we're lost with direction of where we should go, especially with the recent times that we've experienced. Some home, some at work. You have to work different hours. So kudos to you guys.
Yeah, and so that has been so exciting.
Yeah.
Because at the end of every week we will announce the scores and who won the lead, and then we will say and that was one of the things I wanted to do.
Right.
I wanted to say who was the reason why you lose some points? Because now they all
but
know.
It also shows up the supervisor.
Yes, everyone.
Everyone is involved.
That has been a great way of increasing productivity
and performance, for sure.
Well,
I'm glad I asked that because if you're listening, there goes a tip
that's
for
a
you
good tip. Yep,
to
yep.
add to your team performance.
For sure.
Like it. Now, I want to share this with you, right? I'm really fascinated by the science of behind ants, you know?
Oh, wow.
The ants that get in our sugar and our sweets that we may put down for an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go back to it, we have a full set of family there, you know, nibbling on it. Right, and when I first saw it, I was quite astonished by it. Ants, they come together as a group, they unify and rally behind one another and unite around a common goal, demonstrating the strength and scope of cooperation, right? And are you able to provide any personal instances of highlights the success of your high-performing team
outside
of what you just shared?
Oh, man. I mean, it's so much instances I could share, right? So I like to talk about every quarter we have what we call leaders and employee of the quarter.
Okay.
And you would have to nominate someone, right? And oftentimes you would nominate someone and then you have to go before all of the managers and make a case for them, right?
Right.
And I have this one particular houseman, right? That is, listen, this guy is, he's a guy who would cause you to pull your head out.
Ooh, wow.
Pull your hair out, right?
Yes.
But the guy is so, he's such a team player, and he's such a team player, and it is infectious,
okay.
Right? And so we had an instance where we had an NBA player came to the resort,
okay.
And his travel agent booked him into the residences at the resort. But they were thinking that they were booking him into a private villa. We have a private villa that is called the residences.
Yes, I know that.
Right?
Yes.
And so they thought they were booking him. So he arrives, and he realized, wait, I'm at the resort, right? Now, this is a 4:45. Everybody has already worked their full load, and it's time to go, Hapo.
Wow.
Right? And he reaches, he's upset because I'm supposed to be at a private villa. Now, this villa ain't ready, ain't dirty, dirty, and I was able to get team members to say, listen, we can go down there, and we can get this done. And it was like, I didn't have to ask, because the same guy who I told you about, he said, boss, let's go. And he's so infectious that, that people was able to.
And you have to have some of those members on your team that
influences,
always ready,
for
right?
Sure.
Yeah, always
for sure.
ready. So that's really, really important. And then, again, it helps you to know the extent of the teamwork that you
for
have.
For sure.
Yeah, great. All right, you are listening to Career Connection, powered by Flow with Melanie Smith. And my guest, Elmondo Rigby, will be right back after this break and a word from our sponsor.
Flow helps you stay connected to what matters. Simple plans and a better network mean that you can enjoy 30 days of unlimited social messaging, 10 gigabytes of reliable data to use as you like, and 1,000 local anywhere calls and texts. With the always-on prepaid plan, all for $80, with Turks and Caicos' most reliable LTE network. With Flow, it only gets better.
Welcome back to Career Connection. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the importance of teamwork in the workplace, sharing tips on how to be a team player and how to work with teams. Armando, working in a team or leading one might be difficult, you know, due to variations in opinions. You talk about the diverse culture that you have on your team. What strategies have you used to make the most of that opportunity?
Oh, wow. That's so on Fridays, we have trivia.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Trivia is great. And usually the organization as a whole, we have what we call a gazette.
Okay.
That's so that everybody is you know, on the same page. Mm-hmm. The Gazette will usually give you some trivia questions.
Okay.
But what I do to make it personalized to my group, I have Filipinos, I have Dominicans, I have people from Haiti, of course, I have people from Turks and Caicos, I have people from the Bahamas, right? And Jamaicans and all that, right? And so what I would do is I would go and find trivia questions specifically related to where they're from. Mm-hmm. So 1 week I'll use the national dish.
Okay.
And so, and then next time I'll talk about presidents of a particular place or something, you know, unique about it. And then I'll give, you know, a little keychain or something, right? For someone who could answer questions about someone else's culture.
Right. That's important.
Right. Yeah. And then I learn a little bit of the lingo, a little bit of the language, right? I can say a couple things in Creole, I can say a couple things in Tagalog,
you have to know how to communicate with
them. Yeah, and these couple of things. And so one of the things is, for me, is when people see that you want to learn about their culture, learn about things that, that they love, then they feel like, wow, this person care. And so that's one of the strategies that I use, you know, try to meet people where they are, let them know that you learn about it. Because I remember one time with the Haitian community, I talked to them about griot. And how it was brought over from Africa with the slaves, and griot was such a prestigious dish that the big you had to be a big timer to actually
have it.
Yeah. Right? And like a lot of them didn't know. Right? And so they was like exactly.
Yeah,
so it's like and so I think when you do that, people start to say, wow, this person care. And so that's one of the strategies that I
commend Grace Bay Resort for the culture day that you guys normally have as well.
Yeah.
You guys party like rock stars.
I glad you said that. We haven't done it in a while. It's off, you know, COVID.
Right.
But that is something that people really look forward to.
Yeah, well, you have to bring that up.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and you get dressed up in your costumes and all.
Oh, man. You saw it. I still have that picture up, man. I love that picture. I had my national costume on. Oh, man.
But it's a good strategy, too, right? Where you can show your team that you understand where they're from,
for sure.
You understand their culture, and you're willing, you know, to learn it.
And it's important too to let people know too that they should still be proud of where they're from. Right?
Yeah.
You know, and that you're not asking them to throw away where they're from. And like I say, people feel this sense of, wow, this person actually care.
Right?
And so, and because they know that the questions that I'm bringing is questions I'm looking for, and I'm trying to really research and
create an atmosphere where everybody feels at home.
Of course.
Home away
of
from
course.
Home.
Of course.
Wonderful. Now I want to talk about managing conflict,
right?
And we know that is very challenging, right? Share with us how one can navigate and manage conflict, right? And still remain an effective team.
That's you know, when I'll go back to what we talk about, effective communication.
Yeah.
So when you have effective communication, that is the first step in managing conflict, right? Because what effective communication does is it helps us to respect each other, right? In each other's positions and perspective. And then one of the things is us knowing what our conflict styles are. And so when you talk about conflict styles, you have, they talk about five conflict styles, right? You talk about somebody who collaborates, right? You know, somebody who collaborate, you know, sometimes they have an opinion,
right?
And then they might be assertive with that opinion, but they're willing to work together with him. And you have somebody whose style is competing, right? I know somebody on my team right now, who I could think about, they competing,
very competitive,
right? And then you have some people who have avoiding their style of conflict. You know, is they like to avoid stuff. And we know that when you avoid things, what could happen, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you're a person who avoids, it pens up in you,
right.
And sometimes
you
end up lashing out at home at your family members or somebody who ain't really, you know, deserve it, right? And then you have somebody accommodating, right? You know, that's not happy.
I heard myself somewhere in there.
Yeah, right. And then you have the compromise.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And so that's the first thing is understanding your own style.
Right?
Your own style. And then your conflict style and understanding the style of others.
Important.
If I know Melanie is a person who fists always ball, she combative, then I know that I can't approach Melanie in the crowd with all kinds of people because I know I can get I can get licks.
You can get it.
Right? And then recognize conflict influences. Now, that's two ways. We get some people. I had a dog, a lazy dog. He was good for nothing. except when he started barking, he used to wake the whole neighborhood up. And then pretty soon after that, all the dogs in the neighborhood barking. But he wasn't good for nothing else. You have the people in your organization. They just like that
just
dog.
Like that.
They ain't good for nothing except they can stop trouble, right? That's one conflict influencer. But another conflict influencer is you understanding what triggers you.
What triggers you,
right? Yeah. And what causes you to get in whatever combative style that you're in. And then you have to also embrace the style that you have. Understand what others are. Understand the influences, and then be able to say, you know, I already know this triggers me.
I already know
how this person is, and you can't you can't take everything personal.
Right.
That is,
so touchy.
Yeah, and I don't know. We wasn't always like that.
No.
You know, because that means I don't know. I don't know what happened.
It got worse over the
years. I don't know what happened. But yeah, those are some of the tools I would say. To use.
Wonderful. I am glad that you touch on that, because my next question would bring out our Maxwell Leadership hat right now, because I wanted to touch on styles right for a second. And people would hear us talk about this, and which is a methodology that helps us to identify different dimensions of how we are designed. You know, our behavior, our communication style, our strength, and again, our work style, which is, you know, what we're talking about today. And when working in a team, Amandu, right, you may not agree with how your colleagues approach certain issues. And if they have a different work ethic or style than you do, right, how can one still be successful as a team player?
I think it goes back to what we talk about, understanding your role, how vital your role is, and understanding others.
Right? Important.
And that's why when we talk about empathy, we talked earlier about empathy. I always like to say, take empathy to its most ridiculous conclusion.
Yes.
Right? And when I say its most ridiculous conclusion, it is easy for me to empathize with Melanie or Greg or anybody who I feel connected to, who I feel a closeness with, who I like, who, I can feel empathy.
Especially if you like them.
Yeah, it's easy for me to be empathetic. But what if I don't like Melanie's style, right? Mm-hmm. If I still ought to find a way to be empathetic towards him. And so I think it is understanding, and we said it earlier, not to take everything personal. Right? Because when you take everything personal, sometimes people ain't got you on your mind. There's a song that Janet Jackson sing. It says, "You're so vain. I bet you think this song is about you," right? Everything ain't about you, man. Some people wake up this morning and they wake up saying, "Not today, devil." Right? They just
and listen, when you made your point just now, I thought about, and this might have even happened in some offices this morning, right? That you just have some people who would come in the office, and you know, you have introverts and you have
extroverts,
right? And you would hear them from the corridor.
For sure.
And you know, you're in the cubicle and you'd be like, "Oh my God, what's going on with her?" But you know, she's excited for the day, ready to get you know, started, and she's out or he.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we want to find out you know, why are they so excited?
Yeah.
What's to be happy about?
But I think that comes from, you know, sometimes it's so often people are affected by something that's outside of them, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm saying, if Melanie's always excited about her day and getting it started, and why I mad?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? why I mad? Yeah. It's just like, you know, you
Just join me.
Or understand that that's Mel.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so I think the best thing we could always do is work on us. Right?
Yeah.
And not allow, like I say, don't take everything personal. Yeah, don't be so vain. The song ain't about you.
You're right. There are a lot of variances with that, right?
For sure.
And being able to understand your teammates is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. And it starts with understanding you, understanding your triggers, understanding the things that get you off the edge or shows you off, and understanding that if I'm going to be a vital, important member of this team, I can't allow this particular thing to. You can imagine, or when you talk about high performance team, people always talk about Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant in the NBA.
Mm.
And when people talk about playing with Michael Jordan, who people consider the greatest ever,
right.
People didn't say that was fun.
Yeah,
you don't have many teammates who are saying, "Boy, when I was playing with Jordan, it was fun." But all of them get a ring on their finger
from winning.
Right? And so they had to accommodate the style of leadership that he had,
yeah.
And then they had to add there. You had John Paxson.
That's a good analogy to use.
John Paxson is a 3-point shooter. I's a Laker fan. I don't like John Paxson. Nobody know who he is really, except I know who he is
right.
Because when the Lakers played the Bulls in the championship, John Paxson was hitting 3-pointers, killing the Lakers because he had a role. His
right.
role wasn't to beat Jordan.
Right.
His role wasn't a defensive stopper.
Mm-hmm.
He had one thing to do. Shut up, sit in the corner for when Jordan passed it, and hit,
and
the,
hit
shot.
The shot.
And that's what he did.
Yeah.
And
like
and
you said, they all got a ring.
Yes. So
one team.
Yeah, one. Okay. Yes, one team. One team. They say one team, one dream.
Yeah. Oh, unifying for one common goal
for
at
sure.
the end of the day. And that's very,
sure.
very important. Very important. Now, I want to talk about feedback,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when it comes to delivering feedback to a team member. It could be about behavior. We frequently criticize rather than critique, right? And what advice would you provide to persons in positions of leadership in this situation? And I want to plug in coming from the DIS personality, right? Where we have a lot of blind
for
spots.
For sure, for sure.
That you don't always see. And we tend to, because we don't know it, they are blind.
For sure.
Right? But it's important for us to know how the difference between criticizing and
for sure.
critiquing team members.
No, I often say, just putting on a father's hat with a son with autism,
mm.
there is a saying that people say in the autism community, if children don't learn the way you teach, then
yeah.
maybe you should teach the way they learn.
The way they learn.
I find that as a leader, we need to be able to try to, when you talk about critiquing, I've learned this because, again, going back to John Maxwell,
mm-hmm.
I've learned coaching.
Right.
Right?
Evolved,
and so
yeah.
some of the strategies that I would use in these situations so that it don't come off as a criticism
mm-hmm.
is to use coaching questions.
Questions, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than saying to you, Melanie, you know, today you check that guest in and you miss this part of the
right,
check-in
right,
process.
Right.
You ask you, Melanie, did you think you could have done better with that check-in?
Check-in. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then let you say, well, I think I did everything. And you say, was that guest a FHR member? Yeah.
Right.
So when we have FHR members,
what
we
happens?
would
mm-hmm.
And so now the person gets to understand, oh, wow,
I missed a step.
I didn't
mm.
tell them about the breakfast.
Mm.
I missed. And then they feel like they've gotten to that realization
by
themselves.
Mm.
And you didn't have to say, Melanie, you know what? When you check in that guest, you didn't tell them about all the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
You missed
mm-hmm.
out that we have free breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't tell them about the how many pools are at the resort. And now this guest is going to be upset.
Upset.
Right? And so now, of course, it sounds like a criticism. But if I allow you to get to that point by yourself, right? And so now, every leader don't have those tools, because
mm.
I can't tell you
mm.
and sit here and say, even before last year, I had those tools.
You had those.
Leaders
yeah.
need to find mentors.
Mentors, very important.
Right? We need to be able mm. to sit down and talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a word coaches would use and therapists would use, it's called unpacking.
Unpacking.
Right?
Yes.
There's some things that we need to unpack,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that we could relearn and teach
and
our
teach
people the way they
learn.
Again.
Yeah.
Right? And if we don't upgrade, if we don't get those resources,
mm-hmm.
then we are unable mm-hmm. to deliver
to
it
really
in the way
deliver.
That people...
And I really like that you said that because I believe, you know, you, Sheba, and myself have really, really achieved so much through being a part...
I could tell you.
...of that, right? Because I know that we have learned to speak less.
For sure.
Right? Of what we think and
for
feel.
For sure, for sure.
Because that happens a lot, right? And what you observe and what you've seen is more important than, you know, being able to speak to someone, because we have to now learn how to separate behavior from the actual individual.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
And I talk about that team member
yeah.
who I talk about. I love this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll cost you go great.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know that he's genuine in terms of his love for the company,
right,
his
right.
love for the department, his love for, I mean, the guy loves his job.
Mm.
He loves Grace Bay Club, he loves housekeeping, he loves the girls who he service
have
on.
Work with,
but
yeah.
but sometimes he do some stuff where you say, my boy,
yeah, I know,
dude,
right?
come here. Right? But one thing you can't question is that he did it from a place where he thought that, he's saying, oh, chief, man.
I didn't
think about that. Right? And so if you decide to say every time he does something that you realize was what you might call boneheaded, and you start to rake him over the coals, then what you going to do? That love that he has, that desire that he has, that is so infectious.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Now it goes away.
It will go away.
Yeah, of course.
Right? And so it's really important for us to talk to people and have real candid conversations. And we don't do that.
You know, I found that has made my job so easy. Right? I find that when you talk to people about what they're going through, what they're dealing with, what's happening with them, it makes your job easier. Yeah.
Now I want to touch on it's in the same area, but I want to touch on people who have an environment at home, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
That have an impact on their capacity to perform at work, and we are most times unaware, right? How have you been able to perfect the art of communication with your team in a capacity as a leader?
You said a dangerous word. Yeah. You say perfect. I can push back on that word, but I don't think I perfected it.
Not with all that.
No, I think what happens it is often and always people are used to, and I'll tell you this is sad.
Mm.
People are so used to people talking their business.
Right.
That sometimes if there's a rumor going on about them on the property or somewhere, that they if something happened once and they talk to somebody and it started to go around, they tend to not want to share anything no more because they remember the last time they got it. One of the things as a leader, what you need to be able to do, you need to be able for people to come to you and speak to you and they never have to worry about hearing it again.
That's
also important. You have to know, you have to be a leader who don't listen to gossip about other people. And the team has to know it's okay to come to me, but one thing about Mrs. Rigby, I can't go to him with no rumor that I hear about Melanie.
Yeah.
And if I go to him, he can tell me, don't come to me with that.
Perfect.
Right? And so the team now knows I could tell Mr. Rigby something without hearing it again. And they know too, I can't go to him with no nonsense about someone else. And so now that enables them to, when they are going through something, and you say to them, you know, I lose my guy again. Sometimes when he does something out of character, you say, no, that ain't him. Rather than running to rough him up, you call him in and say, listen, come here, let's talk. Everything okay, man? What's going on? That ain't you, man. You don't behave like that. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
But look at you now. You're using the word behave rather than
exactly.
You're actually talking to the individual.
Yeah. And so you know what you know. And so sometimes they'll tell you, yeah, you know, Mr. Rigby, man. I know, man. I'll give you a perfect example. I had one of my team members wanted to go to a funeral of his friend, right? This is why I'll tell you I don't perfect it.
Right.
He wanted to go to his friend's funeral, and we were busy. And the day that the funeral was a busy day. And he says, you know, man, I really want to go. So I say, man, it's busy. And yeah, I'm being a leader who's saying the operations is important, I'm busy. Mm-hmm. And he was disturbed by that. And for that week of the funeral, he was acting kind of weird.
Yeah.
And he went to somebody outside of the organization to have them call me. And you know what? I felt so bad. Because when the person called me, person says, you know, can you let him go to the funeral? This is friend, and he feeling the way. I said, why I allowed that?
Right.
That person should not have to,
call
me. Because I know that this person.
That's not even a part of your team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I felt so that I let the employee down. I felt like I let them down because someone outside had to call and advocate
for him
on this behalf.
Well, and it's good to be open-minded.
And so that's why I tell you I haven't perfected it.
It's good to be open-minded.
Right? And so I was able to see now, and then I was able to connect the behaviors that he was exhibiting that particular week.
Right.
He was just feeling, and
wasn't happy about the decision that you made.
Yes. Yeah. And it was affecting him. Likewise, when people have issues at home, right? And the same way.
Very, very important.
Yep.
Now, let's say I understand my team, respect the culture that you spoke about before. I'm open-minded and adaptive.
Yep. Right? Oh, man, that's it. That's the word.
You're adaptive, right? Yet still I'm facing a problem.
Yeah.
So whether it's with team members or, you know, just a member, do you have any tips for leaders dealing with issues of this kind?
Yes. I'll always tell leaders, we have to always look in the mirror.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
We have to always look. You know, if an NBA team underachieves, you know who gets fired? The coach.
Okay.
If an NBA team gets swept in the playoff, if everybody had them to win the championship, and the team underachieves, the coach is fired.
Coach. Yeah.
You know why the coach is fired? Because it's your job as the coach to manage all of the difficulties that we have. I don't tell me nothing if someone was hurt. Don't tell me nothing but somebody call in sick. Don't tell me nothing but these people, they difficult. I've been nice to them. I've been trying. What we need to do is look in the mirror.
Right?
And you're going to have to. And that's a hard thing.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing, especially when you're trying.
But
and you know you're trying.
Let me plug in there, right? Sometimes it's not a team issue. It could be an individual
for
issue.
For sure.
And there's a difference between symptoms
for sure.
than a cause.
For sure.
Right? So it can be. You know, it's so important for us more so to address the individual.
For sure.
Right? Because all of us are being punished for...
Yes. Well, that's true. But that goes back to when we talk about our conflict styles.
Right.
Because sometimes as lead... I had a manager who, when they wanted to talk to one person in the office, they would call a meeting and talk to everybody.
Everybody, yeah.
Right? But everybody knew only this one person... This do this thing that you're talking about. And so their style was very avoiding, right? And so they would avoid having that conversation with that particular person, but yet they come and generalize it in a meeting.
But that's unfair to a team because
for sure.
You have to know
for sure
how to differentiate
for
the
sure.
difference
for
and
sure.
call out though the
for
performance
sure. For sure.
And issues that you're having or differences.
And so that's why I go back to saying as a leader you have to be self-aware and maybe, right, you know, like I say, sometimes, I mean, you know, we don't like to say it, but sometimes some teams just don't work.
Mm.
I go back to basketball because I like basketball. The
Lakers. The
Lakers.
A lot today.
Yeah, the Lakers had LeBron James, they had Anthony Davis, and then they got this guy called Russell Westbrook.
Mm.
Listen, let me tell you something, Melanie. 2 years ago, the Lakers win the championship. They added Russell Westbrook, who's considered a superstar, but he just don't fit. He didn't fit. He need the ball all the time. LeBron need the ball all the time. He can't shoot. LeBron can't shoot. He can't work. Sometimes on teams, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But sometimes
it happens.
It happens.
Now, time is running out on us already, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
Let's get this party started. Don't miss Camp Coral, SpongeBob's Under Years, only on Nick.
Thank you for joining us on Career Connection. The time goes by so quickly, and you can tell we're having a very thought-provoking conversation with Mr. Rigby this morning. Now, I have a few more questions. We only have 10 minutes.
I'll try to be short. Right? Let me be short.
Now, listen, we know it's easy to work with a group when things are going well.
For sure.
You heard that?
For sure.
When things are going well.
For sure.
But be avoided when things become difficult. So, how have you been able to differentiate the behaviors from personalities or individuals that may be the basis of the difficulties when there are disagreements?
And I think for me it is, we talk about that empathy word, and I think for me it is, in the morning I always have a briefing at 9 a.m. we meet the team.
Okay.
Right?
I used to enjoy briefing.
And what I try to do in that briefing is to bring up some areas of conflict that I've been seeing.
Right?
You know, as housekeepers, housekeepers just get tips.
Right.
But sometimes they work, let's say I work 6 days. and I'm off. And the room that I was in, check out the day I'm off. And they leave a tip. Mm-hmm. And now somebody new gets that room, right? Now, but they didn't service that room the whole week. Mm-hmm. But of course, they get the room, I check out the tip on the bed. They can keep it, right?
Yeah.
And so I saw it as a challenge. And so what I said to each other, I tried to talk to them about saying, listen, man, how would you feel if you worked this room mm-hmm. and somebody mm-hmm. took it? You wouldn't feel.
Right.
And people would often say, yeah, that's true. And so I tried to work scenarios that are you know, practical, that we go through and we feel, and I address it in a way not to tell them, stop thiefing, leave it,
right?
To say, just how would you feel?
Mm.
And how you think if you do that to me, you think I can be happy when I see you?
Yeah, but
you think I can be smiley when I see you? Of course I can be irritated when I see you. Of course we can have problems and we can have words passing, right?
Yeah.
And so those are some of the ways that you could talk to people by you yourself being on the floor as a manager, being in the operation, seeing how it's going, seeing some of the conflicts without intervening, but understanding it, and then try to bring it up in an environment where people can understand.
And you touch on, you know, as a manager, doing property walks
for
and
sure.
all those other things. And I want you to really touch on that, because it may not be a resort, but in your office per se, where you check in on your team.
That's important.
Yeah.
Like I'm an executive housekeeper, but I'm not a housekeeper. In the sense that I don't make beds, but it's important that sometimes I walk on the floor, and when I walk into a room and I see a lady making a bed, that I grab the sheet.
Yeah.
And she said, Mr. Rigby, what you doing? You don't know how to make no bed. I can make this bed today. Right?
Yeah.
And so they see that when I get into a room and we saying, hey, I need this room quickly. But I'm willing to come and ask and say, what you need me to do?
Yeah.
What I could do to lighten this load? People, that makes such
that
a,
makes
big difference.
A big
and
difference.
And when you walk on the floor also, people understand that Mr. Rigby ain't just leave us. He's not an absentee landlord.
Right.
He ain't just leave us. Right? And so people see you walking. Also, it allows you to inspect what you expect.
What you expect. Oh,
right?
I love that.
It allows that. Mm-hmm. And then allows people to see that you're looking and you're seeing and you care.
Yeah.
And so
you basically understand, because if they're not able to come in, you can lend a hand because you've been.
Yep. And then you're able to see stuff that you wouldn't see it from your office.
Right.
You could see something that make people mad, why people be upset, and why I could see why.
You're always sitting behind the desk.
Yeah. And then also you could see how the conflict between staff could happen.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can look at it and say, okay, let's fix that.
Right. Wonderful. And I'm glad you said that, right? Because we all make assumptions from time to time. But you'll never know the underlying cause for a negative workplace behavior unless you inquire.
For sure.
Right? Share with our audience the most effective strategy to keep a line of communication open between team members.
Oh, that's like I say, we definitely touch on that. The most important thing is people have to know that they could trust you.
Right?
You have to know two things as a leader. That you are on display.
Mm.
You have to walk the talk.
Right.
And the second thing is attitude reflects leadership.
Leadership, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The attitude you display towards the organization, the culture of the organization, the department, the people in the organization, is going to be reflected in the staff and their attitude towards the organization and towards the department and towards you. And so when you understand that you are on display, that your actions have to match your words have to match your actions, and you got to walk the talk, you got to be able to, when you give people their word that you're going to do something. Or you got to do it. And so that allows you to open up that line and people to be able to trust you, and we'll be able to communicate.
And that's really good, because
it
still takes us back to communication.
It is important.
Key factor,
it's the key.
It's
the key. You can't get away from that.
Yeah. Perfect. Now, our time is gone.
Gone.
But I want to touch quickly on sharing reduces burnout. Right?
Oh, yep.
And give us some advice on how to manage workloads while preventing employee burnout.
Training.
Yeah.
Also, you have to all understand the strengths of your department, the people in your department who have aspirations, you gotta try to seek them out.
Right.
People who want to do and grow. You know, one of the trainings I did, or I'm about to do with my staff, is Excel.
Right.
During the pandemic, I signed up for an Excel course online.
Okay.
Because I wanted to get more proficient.
Right.
I paid for the course, and now I'm going to offer that
to them.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Because the more they learn, the more they're able to grow. Because some people are afraid to raise their hand to say, I want to grow. They feel like they ain't have no skills to offer.
Right.
Training is so important, right? Not being aloof as a leader, identifying people who you see mm-hmm. have the ability mm-hmm. to do more and try to pull them in and allow them.
Yeah.
You got to do that, because once you start to do that, it makes them feel like their contribution is even greater, and then allows you to you don't have to stress and pull your hair out all the time. Of course. And then it also, people then start to actualize what they could be
and grow
into that possibility.
Yeah, and here we go again, adding value.
Adding value, that's adding
really
value.
Really good. Now, as we close up today's session, right, what advice would you provide to someone managing a team?
Oh, man, I'll tell you, be, and I already said it, but you gotta be, do what you say you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
when you say you're going to do it, and if you can't, come back in and say why.
Okay. Perfect.
Yep.
Perfect, I love it. Love it. This was an extremely informative discussion. Thank you, Elmondo, for always bringing the light and, I must say, energy to any room that you walk into. I hope you've enjoyed this conversation as much as I did.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you to RTC in Grand Turk and Provo for broadcasting us live, and to our listening audience for always tuning in with us. Join us again next Thursday as we chat on Career Connection, powered by Flow, with your host, Melanie. Make that connection today.